Kyle here. I'm the pastor of Island Pond. I want to thank you for checking out our videos. So whether you're listening by podcast, watching online, or watching on television, my prayer is that God will use this message to bless you, encourage you, and challenge you today. If you want more information about our church, or if you want to watch other messages, you can go to www.islandpondbc.com. If you live in the Hampstead, New Hampshire area, come on out. Right now, our services are at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday morning in Hampstead, New Hampshire. All right, let's go ahead and dive in to the message today.
So we are in the very last section, as I already said, of James. And these are his, his parting words. His parting words. And as you know, or maybe, I'm assuming you know, parting words usually have a little bit of seriousness behind them. They're not frivolous. I remember when I was a teenager and I would get ready to go out for the evening to hang out with some friends or to go drive to school in the morning. My mom would always give me some sort of parting last words like this, and you're probably familiar with them. Be careful. Be careful. Why? Because she wanted me to return safely. That was what was most important to her, and so those were her parting last words. And James here is going to be giving some parting last words to his churches as well, about living out your faith, about living through these times of suffering. And this is what his parting last words are. These are his words. It's never stop praying. Never stop praying. Because to the Christian, praying is vital. Let me give you two reasons before we start reading our passage this morning why prayer is so vital. And here's reason number one. Prayer takes our eyes off of our problems and puts them onto God. You see, here's the problem with problems. They often consume our thoughts so much so that we lose sight of everything else that's going on. This paper here, let me get this out. This paper here represents a problem. You see, we have a very large budget for sermon illustrations here at Island Pond. But this represents a problem. Now, from you all back there, it doesn't really look like much, does it? But what we often do when we have these issues, these difficulties, these sufferings, these problems, is we start focusing on it and fixating on it, and then all of a sudden it gets closer and closer to us. Before we know it, it is just covering everything else that we can see, and it is the only thing now that we can see. We're fixated on it. But let's be a little bit more realistic. Problems are not often just paper. Problems often, you know, hang over us. It's like not only do they cover our vision, but they literally just hang over us, and we can't see what's going on. Can you still hear me? Okay, because I can't see you. Because I have this problem that is now just blocking everything that I can see. And what we need to do when we're praying, or when we pray, is as we turn our prayers to God, what it does is it begins to lift our problems off of us, and it takes our eyes, and it takes them, and we put them up toward God. And the problems, all of a sudden, become less and less and covering us, and we become less fixated on them. And so, listen, even if God doesn't fix your problems when you pray to him, The very thing of you focusing on him instead of your problem, it's a win. And so that's the first reason why we should constantly be in prayer, is because it keeps our eyes off of our problems, and it takes them and puts them onto God. And here's the second reason why we need to be praying, is because prayer connects us with God. Now, since we're out here in the parking lot, I'm not going to ask if any of you drive a Tesla, because I can see what you all are driving. Very nice cars. But If you've been around, you know that I've talked about Tesla a few times now. As after I read the biography of the guy who made it, I was like, I want one of those. And so let's just pretend now for a moment that I use just part of my weekly salary to outright buy a Tesla. I can hear some of you all laughing here. All right. Well, just pretend with me. And that Tesla, I'm so happy to get it. They take it and they deliver it to my house because that's what the Tesla people do. They deliver it to your house. And then once it's there, I wash it every day. It's shiny. I sit in it. I take it on drives throughout Hampstead and Derry and Londonderry and Manchester. I'm just enjoying my new Tesla. Sometimes at night, I even will slip out of my bed and just go down and just sit in my Tesla at night because I love it so much. But what if I forgot to do one thing? What if I forgot to charge it? And you know that if you know, a Tesla is a battery-powered, it's electric car. And so if you don't charge it, what will eventually happen is that it will become a very ineffective car. It will eventually become just a big, fancy, shiny chair in the midst of your driveway. Now listen, if we are not connecting with God, then what we're doing is we are not charging. We're not getting what we need from Him each day. And eventually, if we continue like that without connecting with Him, then we will eventually become very ineffective Christians. We'll become Christians who just sort of sit around but are not able to do much for Him. And that's why James is saying we need to be in prayer. And so do you want to connect with God? Do you want that charge per se? Do you want to grow spiritually and be close and intimate with Him? Then it begins with prayer. The other important one is Bible reading, which I'm not going to be talking about today. There's others as well. But the two main ones, prayer and Bible study. And let's talk now more about prayer. That's why James starts by giving these words in chapter 5, verse 13. He says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Now, based on reading this, is there ever a situation in which we should not be praying? No, James is saying, his point is that we Christians should be in constant prayer. Not just when things are going poorly, it's not just then that we should be praying, but it's when things are going well as well. Not just when we're having a good day, but when we're having a bad day as well. And see, here's the reality, though, that most of us, statistically speaking, if you look at some of the studies, most Christians are not praying very much. And I don't say that to try to guilt us. That's just the reality that we are not praying. And so if that is the case, then we are not connecting. We are not charging with God. And we are, in essence, destined to become very ineffective Christians. And so, in fact, in the next few verses, James is going to show what can happen when people do connect with God. And so if you want to see what an effective, righteous person looks like, one that is close with God, let me read these next few verses. Verse 14, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith that will save the one that is sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." Now, I don't have time to go into every aspect of this passage. There's a lot here. But let me give you just a brief summary of what James is saying. In the prior verses, he talked about how if you're sick, you should go to God in prayer. But now he's saying that if you are sick, then you need to call the elders of the church to come and pray for you. And he's saying that that word elder there literally is talking about pastors. It's one of the words there used in the original language that refers to pastors. But we can take it, if we were to apply it to maybe our church structure or to other church structures, it would be, you know, the leaders of the church. And so what he's saying is call for the leaders of the church and to come and pray for you. And those leaders are to come, and they're actually to take oil, and they're to anoint you with the oil. Now, what's the purpose of the oil? James doesn't say, but most likely it's not for medicinal purposes. It's not like he's saying, are you sick? Take a little oil and you'll feel better, by the elders. No, the oil is symbolic. Just like as we take communion, it's a symbolic act showing what Christ has done in our life. Just like as we get baptized when we become Christians, that's a symbolic act showing how we have been saved and transformed in Christ. Oil also has that idea behind it. And so it's a showing that the Holy Spirit is being anointed on that person for the purpose of healing. And we're then the elders are then to go and to pray for that person in faith and ask that God would heal them. And what's the result? It says in verse 16, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. And so in other words, God will work powerfully through that person. Now that's what happens. Think about this. That's what happens to people who are connected with God. They have powerful prayers. They have connected prayers that are connected with God, and God will work mightily through them. Do you want that for your life? Do you want God to work through you? Then you need to connect with Him. Now, some of you may be thinking, all right, Kyle, in these situations, I've seen people prayed for. I've seen, oil anointed on them, and they haven't been healed. I've seen my loved one die. I've seen bad things still happen. And that's the reality of a fallen world, that this is not where perfection is going to take place. And so to be honest, I don't know why God chooses to heal some and not others. But one day, when we all get to heaven, He will make everything right, and He will take all the pain and the suffering away. But until then, we are to do what God calls us to do, which is to pray for the healing of people. And we are to trust in faith that He calls people to be healed and that He wants to heal people. But then the rest we're to leave up to Him. And if He chooses not to heal someone, that's up to God. And if He chooses to heal someone, that also is up to God. But generally speaking, God chooses to work through people who are connected with Him. And so people who have a close relationship with Him, people who are carrying out His mission, those are the ones who God usually works through. And that's why he says in verse 15 and 16, if anyone has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And what he's basically saying, are you messed up? Are you a sinner? Are you a horrible person? Then get out of here. Wait, no, he doesn't say that. He's saying, are you messed up? Are you a sinner? Then come to me. Come to God, and I will forgive you, and I will make you a righteous in my sight. And so it's not based, we don't come to God based on our actions. We come to Him based on what He has done. And so this morning, if you think, yes, my life is full of sin, God doesn't want me. God doesn't want me to be part of His family. God doesn't want to use me. And James would say, no, He does. If you will just confess your sins to Him, if you will turn to Him, then He will forgive you and He will work through you. So before I go any further, I just want to encourage each of us this morning that for those who have never put their faith in Jesus Christ, don't think you're too messed up for Him. I've heard people say, I'm going to wait to become a Christian until I get my life together. I'm going to wait to get baptized until I get things right. I'm going to wait to participate in Bible studies or attend church regularly or serve in church, whatever it may be. I'm going to wait until things are better in here. And I would say, no, come to God and he will make you right. He will forgive you. And then just boldly approach him because he wants you in his family. You are not too messed up for him. And so even now, if you've never put your faith in him, even now, if you will call out to him, he will welcome you into his family. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, he says, come to me, all you who are weary. Not come to me, all you good folks, but come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. In other words, once you come to me, then I'll work on all the stuff going on in your life. Don't try to do it on your own. Take my yoke upon me and upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus doesn't want to just have you come and just feel guilty and guilty and guilty. He wants to welcome you into his family and forgive you. And so right now I want to encourage you to call out to him. Call out to him, for Paul says that everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. There is no one here in this parking lot. There is no one here watching on Facebook or YouTube that is too sinful for God. You may be thinking, I am the most sinful person in Hampstead. It's okay. God can work with you. He can forgive you, and he can make you as white as snow. You may be thinking, all right, forget Hampstead. I'm as sinful as any person in Derry. That's a big one, isn't it? God saying, no, there is no one here that is too sinful for me. So go to him. Go to him, and he will work through you and forgive you. Let's look at the next section in James. In verse 17, he mentions now this what we would consider a mighty man of God. He says in verse 17, Elijah was a human being, even as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced crops. And what he's getting at here is he's using Elijah as an example in the Old Testament as one of the most celebrated people in the Old Testament, one of the most quote-unquote mighty men of God through which miracles were performed. And Elijah and James is saying that he was just a man. It was God that worked through him. And I love this story of Elijah talking about the drought, where Elijah, James says, prays for a drought to happen, and it happens. You know, Elijah was just one cool dude. And then when the drought happens, years go on, and people start getting a little bit worried because there's no rain and therefore no food. And in the midst of all of this, Elijah, I love this story, Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal to a competition. And so there's 450 prophets and one of him. And he challenges them. So in 1 Kings chapter 18, I believe, He has them go, and the prophets of Baal get their altar ready, and Elijah gets his altar ready. And they put a sacrifice on top of each. And it's a battle of the gods. And so the prophets of Baal need to now call on their god Baal to send down fire. And then Elijah will do the same, and I guess whoever has the largest fire will win. And so he generously lets the prophets of Baal go first. It'd be sort of like when the Patriots play my Redskins, the Patriots, like, you all go first with offense because we're not worried about you. So Elijah lets the prophets of Baal go, and they start calling out to their God and asking their God to send down fire, and nothing happens. And so they start cutting themselves and doing all these calling out and screaming and, I don't know, probably dancing around. And they're like, Baal, Baal, come and send down your fire. And I love what Elijah does next. Right in the middle of all this, he starts taunting 450 very cranky prophets. And they're cutting themselves and nothing's happening. He's like, hey, maybe you need to shout a little louder because he can't hear you. Hey, maybe Baal's on the potty. This is not a Kyle joke. This is an Elijah joke here. Maybe he's on the potty relieving himself, so he's just not available. Maybe he's on a journey. And finally, after a period of time, it goes into the afternoon, the prophets give up, and Elijah said, it's my turn. And he walks up to the altar, and he says, all right, let's just make this a little bit more interesting. And he has his servants take 12 jars of water, big jars of water, and dump it on the altar. And it says that the water flowed over so much that it started filling up the ditch around it. And then Elijah probably gets ready. He probably stands back. And he says these two short sentences. He says, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have turned their hearts back. That's all he prays. Two sentences right there. Well, you know, was that a minute prayer? And listen to what happens next. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust even, and licked up the water that it was in the trench. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. I remember yesterday my kids and I were making a fire and we just could not get it to stay lit. And so I did a very unsafe thing. I started dumping gasoline on it. But it still would not start. And so I dumped a bunch on it. And so I said, all right, kids, take a step back. And I get my little lighter and I just sort of reach in there and light it. And that thing, it just like bursts up in flames. And I can imagine that's just a little taste of what Elijah saw coming the other direction, falling from the sky. This fire comes down, and the hairs on my arms started burning there. And then, and no doubt, Elijah was like, whoa! And all the people were just amazed at what God, the God of Israel, the God of Isaac and Jacob could do. And then Elijah says, go get those prophets of Baal and kill every one of them because they're misleading you. And that day, 450 prophets of Baal died. Now, immediately after that story is when Elijah then goes and prays for rain to happen. It had been a drought. There had been a drought for 3.5 years. And at that point, Elijah just prays to God, and God sends the rain down. All right, now, why am I telling you this story of Elijah? Let me read verse 17, what James says again. He says, Elijah was a human being, even as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3.5 years. You see, all those miracles that I just told you about were not from some super Christian. They were not from some amazing guy that had these powers that no other person had. They were from a person, James says, that was just like us. That was just like us. And so those miracles that he performed were not because Elijah was special, but because he was connected with God and God chose to work through him. And so those miracles were not because Elijah was amazing, but because God was amazing. And so James's point is that he is not calling us to be some amazing person. He is calling us just to be connected with him so that he can work through us. And so every one of us, I want you to see this. You can be used by God. You can be used by God. God can work through you. And you may be thinking, oh, I've only been a Christian for 6 months. I don't even know one verse. I don't read my Bible very well. I'm just not good at this. I'm not good at this. I'm not a very good Christian. No, if you will just stay close to God, He can use you too. So God doesn't call us to be amazing. He's the amazing one. He simply wants us to connect with Him. The past few weeks, we've been doing these kids' videos called Mr. Bible Man for Island Pond Kids. And I started using this character here. This is Miss Bunny. Everyone say hi to Miss Bunny. There you go. Yep. See, Miss Bunny. But I started getting feedback from my kids. My kids would watch the videos and they would say, Miss Bunny is amazing! Miss Bunny's so funny! And they would start just singing praises to Miss Bunny and Mr. Bible Man. He's okay. He's fine. But they loved Miss Bunny because Miss Bunny is sassy. Miss Bunny is funny. And Miss Bunny is just unpredictable, right? Yeah. All right. For those of you here, cover your kids' ears for a second because I have a secret for you. Miss Bunny is a puppet. And anything funny that Miss Bunny does is because I'm funny. And anything amazing that Miss Bunny does is because of me. Now listen, I'm not telling you that in God that we are puppets. Because God has given us free will, and God wants us to work on our own and to use our own will. He wants us to be like that. But the key is here that just as Miss Bunny had to be connected to me, God is wanting us to be so close to Him that He can literally, or figuratively speaking, that He could just reach out His hand and work through us. And so that's how we need to be connected with God, because He will work through us that way. And so do you want to do amazing things for God? Then be close to the God who is amazing. Let me read this last part here, verses 19 and 20 of chapter 5. And James ends his letter like this. He says, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring back that person, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. And so did Elijah do some amazing miracles through God? Yes. But do you know a more amazing miracle is someone turning from a life of sin and turning and giving their life to Jesus Christ. And so seeing someone turn to Jesus, that is the most amazing miracle that can happen. And James is saying, pray for that. Pray for God to work mightily through you, because if you will do that, if you will stay connected with Him, He will do even more amazing things than He did through Elijah, because He will work through you to change lives. He will work through you to save lives from an eternity in hell and instead be with Jesus forever. So will you do that this morning? Will you connect with God? And I want to challenge you before you leave the parking lot this morning or before you turn off the stream, I want to challenge you to come up with a plan of how you will connect with God this week. I want to challenge you to take time each day to connect with Him. So maybe you need to commit to waking up 15 minutes earlier just to spend some time in prayer and reading Scripture. Or maybe you need to commit to turning off the TV or Netflix 10 or 15 minutes earlier at night so that you can spend some time in the evening praying. Whatever it can be, I want to challenge you. Find some ways to connect with God this week. You may be thinking, Kyle, I don't even know how to pray. I don't know how to pray, so how can I do that for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes, for 15 minutes? Well, if that's the case, then find other people who do know how to pray and learn from them. And it just that through the all the different things that have gone on the past few months, we have lots of different opportunities where you can be praying with people here at the church online from the comfort of your home. And so so not only can you spend time with loved ones who can help you pray, but second, you can also spend time with me in prayer each Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday evening at 9:15. Just hop on Facebook and we'll spend about 10 or 15 minutes praying together. Or on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 8 a.m., maybe you don't like me, but you like Steve. And so you can go and pray with him on Facebook at 8 a.m. for about 10 or 15 minutes. Maybe you like a little bit more interaction. And so at 6:15 on Zoom each week on Wednesdays, we have a group that gets together on Zoom right now and prays together. And so between all these different opportunities, we have six different days covered where you can participate with us in prayer in very low pressure situations. And just learn from us and just begin to develop your own way of praying. Here's another way that you can develop your prayer life. You can read scripture that talks about prayer or that gives examples of prayer. For example, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gives an example of how we should be praying. Go and study that and then pray like that. Jesus has prayers throughout the Gospels. Paul prays for people. There's tons of prayers in the Old Testament as well. Just Google prayers in the Bible and you will come up with an infinite list of prayers that you can be looking at. Or lastly, there are books of godly men that have examples of them praying. And one of my favorites here, it's written down in the bulletin. It's at least I think it is Valley of Vision. And so Valley of Vision is a book of prayer, of Puritan prayers. They're just short little one-page prayers, but they are just filled with just great content and theology that you can really learn from or even pray for your own life as well. You can get it on Amazon for 10 or 15 bucks. And so none of us have an excuse in this day and age to say, I don't know how to pray. Because even if you're at home, isolated and alone, you can hop on Facebook and pray with us. Or you can get into Scripture and pray with Scripture. Or you can read a book and pray that and just learn. And my point is that if you will make the effort, you can learn to pray. You can learn to pray. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come on back up. And I want to talk one more time to those who have never connected with Jesus Christ before. And so if you've never put your faith in him, you cannot connect with him on that level. But the good news is, as I've already talked about, is that you can do it even right now, that he wants you into his family. And so if you will just pray with me right now and mean it from the bottom of your heart, mean what I'm saying here, if you'll just pray that as well, then he will come and he will save you. So I want us all to go ahead and spend a moment now in prayer. And if you'd like to become a Christian, if you'd like to put your faith in Jesus Christ, then pray after me. Lord Jesus, I can't do this on my own. Lord, I need your help. I want to be connected with you. Would you be my Lord today? Would you take away my sins? And would you help me to follow after you? Amen. And listen, if you meant that prayer, it's not just the words that save you, but if you meant it, then the Bible says that you will be saved. If you'll just call out to him, you are saved and you are part of his family. And I want to hear from you today. If you prayed for the first time to ask Jesus into your life, go to the online bulletin right now and submit the form letting me know that you became a Christian this morning so that I can reach out to you this week and encourage you along the way. And let me give one last prayer now for those that have connected with God but maybe have drifted. And maybe you're just going through a tough time and you've just grown a little bit distant from God, or maybe you've gotten into some sin and you just don't feel like praying right now. And so not only should you be determined as you go out of here to have a plan to pray, but let's now reach out to God and call out to God and connect with him even right now. And let's ask him to help us. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I pray for each person here this morning. I pray that you will help them along their journey and that you will help them to connect with you. Lord, strengthen them in the area of prayer. Give them just unwavering diligence in prayer. God, may they hold on to you and not let go. And so, Lord, I pray for those that are maybe going through a really difficult time and are just feeling really difficult to pray. So, Lord, would you help them? Would you give them the strength and courage today to get through that time and stay close to you? I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.